Welcome to the Sunday worship service of September 6, 2020, New Hope Church. Holy Spirit calls us to worship Him by the Exodus chapter 15, verse 13. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Heavenly Father God, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your coming into my presence, that we can worship you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Fill our hearts with your Spirit and bring us to the presence of your Word, the Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we have the fifth and last part of a Water in the Wilderness series. The title is See the Bronze Snake. And the text comes from Psalm 119, 105, and the Numbers 21. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 through 10. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and leave." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then, when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. The Israelites moved on and camped in Oboth, verse 16 through 20. From there, they continued on to Beer, the well, where the Lord said to Moses, "Gather the people together and I will give them water." Then Israel sang this song, "Spring up, O well, sing about it, about the well that the princess dug, that the nobles of the people sank, the nobles with scepters and staffs." Then they went from the desert to Matana, from Matana to Nahaliel, from Nahaliel to Bamoth, and from Bamoth the valley of Moab, where the top of Pisgah overlooks the water wasteland. This is the word of God. Amen. As we have found last Sunday, two Meribah incidents, Meribah 1 and Meribah 2, from Exodus chapter 17 and Numbers 20, pairs to highlight how the Israelite community evolved during the 40-year wilderness school, if you will. Likewise, the two water-related places, Marah from Exodus chapter 15 and today's Beel spring from text number 21, also pairs to show another aspect of transformation with Israelites, the community during the 40-year wilderness school. The changes are subtle and much nuanced, but it was a substantial and significant one. So much so, when Jesus was asked by Nicodemus, a prominent teacher of the Pharisees, regarding the relationship between the kingdom of God and the person's need to be born again, Jesus referred back to the instance of the fiery snake, and that is the backdrop of today's message. John chapter 3, verse 14 through 17 says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, So the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If you come to think of it, Almighty God made all his best effort for 40 years to make these subtle but tiny differences to firmly set in. This should remind us how hard it is to change man as a person, let alone as a people and the whole of a community. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit upon the shoulder of Jesus Christ, who bore the tree of a cross by the careful plan of the Father God. As we also go through the wilderness phase together as an individual community during this COVID-19, I believe it is logical for us that we too focus on the areas that God had worked so hard for the people of Israel. The four areas that changes had occurred are self-awakening, self-awareness, and self-acknowledgement, and self-action. The first area that changes occurred was the self-awakening by the people. Right in the middle of people piling up their grumbling, spoke against God and Moses, a disastrous pandemonium occurred by the attacks of fiery snakes. Facing this concomitant instance, people are forced to choose among three kinds of responses. First, superficial response, dealing with a physical phenomenon only. You see these two instances, the grumbling against God and Moses due to the ill-traveled road and the sufferings by the venomous snake bites, as two unrelated incidents and dealt separately. The outlook is grounded based upon by the belief system that what are visible and tangible are all that it is and nothing more. The second, emotional response, reacting by the gut feelings. The whole situation is like it just happened to rain when you really feel like crying. From the standpoint of an angry mob, the venomous snake's instance added a feel over the fiery emotion that has been building up because of the ill-fated road trip, making their stance to God and Moses even harsher and extreme. Third, conscientious response. Response of being awakened by the attacks and suffering by the venomous snakes. C.S. Lewis once said, suffering is a wake-up call from God. The hurtful pains and suffering caused by the sudden and unexpected attacks by the venomous snakes shook the people to the core from their slumber of their state, grumbling. They began to ask the question, the reasonableness of their reaction to the ill-traveled road and the charges against God and Moses for it. It is to use the fiery snake instant like an alarm clock to be awakened from the stupor of grumbling and to think over what they have been doing it and acting upon it. Was it reasonable and logical? Is it possible that God gives the warning signal? Facing serious suffering, the question is, what has been your choice of response? Second, the second area that changes occurred was the self-awareness by the people. They had begun their wilderness journey some 40 years ago, meandering the harsh desert area, living in the tents, and finally got to the point where they could transverse the territory of Edomites only to arrive, they can finally arrive at the promised land of Canaan. And the people of Israelites, and including Moses too, had hoped that their shared bloodlines as two sons of Isaac, Esau, and Jacob, and these Edomites had a sympathy on their fellow brothers, but that door was formally shut to them at the border. God also prohibited the Israelites to force their entrance in the brothers' territory. How disappointed it must have been for the community and also to Moses and leadership too. Then they had to travel all the way back to the same way to southward to circumvent Edomite territory. And the Bible specifically mentioned along the route by the Red Sea. Facing this utterly disappointing situation, that all your years of effort seem to lead to nowhere and you have to start all over again that you began some 40 years ago from the scratch, from the ground up. How would you respond? We seem to fluctuate among three options. First, despair option. The option takes all the responsibility locked in oneself, drowning in self-pity and self-hatred and self-regret. It follows a suicidal trajectory. Second, grumbling option. This option goes to the opposite of despair in terms of placing the responsibility. It finds the source of blame other than him or herself and the circumstance and some object of the people. Third, hope option. This option is only possible when you at least have a hint of a reason or something to be hopeful and something to be trusted. Israelites chose to grumble against God and Moses. This choice of grumbling will show two characteristics. First, grumbler does not bear the responsibility over the events and matters. It always comes up with excuses for themselves and reasons to blame others. Second, grumbler bases his sense of reality not on the real data and facts, but on the world of words he constructed around him. It is the make-believe world made up of his own words. This is a world in which he decided to live in. This world of words is built by the grumbling machine, if you will. This is how this grumbling machine works, that you blurt out the world of complaints. Then this world of complaints is picked up by your ears and stored in your heart, and shape the outlook how you see the world from your visions, and provide the measure and the standard, the yardstick to see the events and the people and the world. And then based upon that vision, that outlook, you burst out the grumbling words again, and thus completing the full cycle, vicious cycle of grumbling. And this grumbling keeps rolling until something of extraordinary nature from outside wakes the grumbler up from this spinning the wheel of grumbling. It has a tendency to get intensified as each cycle finishes. For grumbling works like a drug. In order for you to feel the anger, and you need to be sensitized even more so by the sensational charges. It creates a bubble in which you place your thought and actions. It also creates an echo chamber of people that feed off each other by echoing their grumbling and feel more vindicated. It almost acts like a virtual reality, the video game in which you create an alter ego to play your role. The only and easiest way that you can be awakened from this virtual reality is to turn off the video game to get the plug off from the power socket. God had sent the fiery snakes, the venomous snakes, the grumbling people of Israelites to get them off, to get them out from their virtual reality of this grumbling machine and put them back into the real sense of reality. Third area of change occurred was the self-acknowledgement. The striking difference that set apart the community of Israel and Mara from Abiel was the active role of self-acknowledgement to examine their acts and thoughts. That was the before and after 40 years of wilderness school training. First, they correctly identified the victims of their sins. They specified to whom they have sinned against. Verse 5 is the all-seeing viewpoint of the Bible and of God, but not yet shared by the grumbling people. Verse 5 says, they spoke against God and Moses. And verse 6, we have the instance of a fiery snake. And then verse 7, now in their own words before Moses, we grumbled against the Lord and you. And second, they list the exact wrongs as sins they have committed. We grumbled against you and Moses and the Lord. Spoke against, specified it. Third, they own their sins and wrongs. We did it. Fourth, the fourth area the change occurred was the self-motivated, self-propelled, and self-initiated self-action. Unlike the Maras, where people basically complained to Moses and Aaron, then it was Moses' work to cry out to God and throw the tree and cast the tree. People passively received the benefits by drinking the water that turned from bitter to sweet. It was all Moses' work. But after 40 years of wilderness school of training, now the people of Israel took the initiative to come to Moses. That they took the initiative to come to Moses was so crucial and so important. And it changed the whole discourse and dialogue. And I think God thought they passed the exam. They are ready. They are ready to wage the war. And they are ready to take on the Israelites and to take on the Canaanites. It was the people's idea that Moses should pray to God and to remove the fiery snake. And when Moses lifted the bronze snake, it was their responsibility to look at the snakes at the pole to get healed. Another positive sign of this is that people, those struggle through different stages of emotions and disappointments, despairs and grumbling, but they finally came to the choice of hope, realizing God and His covenant promise is the only hope they can put their trust, not only in times of crisis, but also in every other times too. This resulted in not only the removal of venomous snakes, but also the bitterness in their road trip. After this instance, Numbers chapter 21, verse 10 and followings, listed a sketch of Israelites' itinerary throughout the region until the spring of beer rather peacefully. They learned their lesson and overcame their initial bitterness upon their way. And as a matter of fact, this instance description and exactly following, corresponding with the Israelites' journey from Mara to Elim. And so in that way, it shows how two instances match each other. And it's just not only for the literal reasons, but also how God is checking upon the His people's progress and how God is rewarding them. The Israelites moved on and camped at the Oboth. And then they set out from Oboth and camped in Lai Abrai. In the desert, they faced Moab toward the sunrise. From there, they moved on and camped at the Jezreel Valley. They set out from there and camped alongside Arnon, which is in the desert extending to Amorite territory. The Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. These areas later conquered by the Israelites in future generations. Verse 16, it says, from there they continued on to Beer, the well where the Lord said to Moses, gather the people together and I will give them water. You know what? This is the rare instance that we have in the Bible of during the time of a wilderness journey, that the record of a well dug by the people in their wilderness journey. As they sang upon the crossing of a Red Sea, people now sang the song of praise and highlights how everyone is joining the effort to dig the well and farm the water. It is not Moses and or Aaron's staff only, but all the leaders' staff together worked, come together to this well of Beer. Spring up, O well, sing about it, about the well that the princess dug, that the nobles of the people and the nobles with the scepter and the staffs. 40 years ago, it was by the side of the spring of Elim, it was 70 palm trees, and that stands for the 70 elders of Israelites. And this tree, now they rest upon, became a staff that signifies the authority. It was a triumph of God's patient work through the wilderness journey. And so God not only, it began with the Moses single staff and extended to Aaron's, and now that it has, in the middle of a journey, it has extended to the 12 tribes ahead, and now we don't know how many, but that it is like a, basically the ideas, it's all shared by the people of God. It provides the backdrop of Jesus mentioning of him being lifted up like Moses lifted the snake up, and his acts and discourse at the well by the Samaritan village in John's gospel. This is how Jesus sees it, that how this his ministry is extension, is a fulfillment of how God has put the signature sign from the record of Numbers. So my friends and church family members, as you and I go through this COVID-19 crisis and almost a wilderness journey, just think about it, how God has fixed his gaze upon these four areas, how he made a progress. So this is the area that we should focus on, and it should work like a tip of a spear blade and cut into our soul and be ready. So we need to come out and from this wilderness school, even more strengthened, even more solidified in His grace. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your message as we conclude this wilderness journey, water in the wilderness. We have gone through from water and to the rock, to the tree, and finally to the snakes. Father God, ultimately it is Jesus Christ. You are the Lord and Savior. Oh, Father God, Thank you for your work. Thank you for your sending your Son Jesus Christ in the midst of us. Thank you for his words. Thank you for his resurrection. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for providing the church. Thank you for his Spirit. We know until his day comes. Second coming. They will keep on this journey together, in you, with you, through you, by you. May the mercy of Father God, love of Jesus Christ, and communion and fellowship upon the people and upon the offerings they gave it up in the presence of God, your altar. Multiply them 30 times, 60 times, 100 times, that they can continue to have, see them food. They can continue to be the conduit of blessing. Fill their hearts, their life, with your Holy Spirit, sevenfold, throughout the day, throughout the evening, throughout the week, for the rest of their life, forevermore. Amen. Amen.